First pitch. He swings and lines this one into right field. Not abysmal there. One run scores. Campero rounds third. He scores. Two run single. Yoan Moncada. Ray Montgomery pressing the right button. The Angels lead 6-4.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about trying to shoehorn in a new player with about $1.5 million for the rest of the season? That's the task asked of Chris Young, it appears.
Fortune favors the bold.
Yes, it does. This was Evan Grant had a column on the Dallas Morning News on this about, you know, Chris Young.
Ooh, that's there we go. Two this morning.
Yeah, I'm turning my microphone off because of the commercial reads, and I'm coming back and not putting it back on. I need to move my computer. I'm also trying to go with the feet up today in the chair.
Oh, baby.
So it's kind of throwing me off, but those are all excuses. Be better.
Wait, hold on. You're going your foot tucked up under the chair?
No, both feet up. I'm not Nick Wright.
I was going to say, you went after that a couple weeks ago.
No. Rangers lose to the Angels again, 8-5. They're five back in the West. They've lost two in a row. They're still 7-3 in their last 10. And most importantly, they're one game back in the wild card. You got the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mariners, Rangers, Tampa, two behind us.
So they've shaved off about seven games of this lead that Houston has had in the division.
Awesome.
It's tremendous. And we are approaching the trade deadline, you know, a little bit more than 24 hours to go. Of that trade deadline. But the problem that Chris Young is going to be is how aggressive can he be? Not will he be, can he be? They are bumping up very close to the competitive balance threshold. It's called the CBT, Bobby. You sick people out there.
Is that like a baseball apron?
It's like diet weed, basically.
Yes, it's the baseball apron, right? It's basically their apron. It's the competitive balance tax threshold. It's also a moving target because there's a lot of makeable performance bonuses out there for Malley and Milner and Corbin and Webb, Chris Martin, that they could still earn. Like, it's like we're talking about $1.5 million, $2 million, right? So the Rangers are about $235 to $238 million. So they've got anywhere from $3 to $6 million to work with, but they, you know, with those performance bonuses, they don't really know. So they're saying that he has to really thread the needle here. Maybe even $2 million if he's given that green light to go for it. So in the past, they've subtracted money to do this. Like, so last year,
and a lot of that talk was kind of about Adolis right now.
Right. So last year, you know, they got rid of Michael Lorenzen, but they added Chafin. So they added and subtracted at the same time.
Goldbond will fix that.
So if the team goes over it next year, if they were able to reset the tax penalties, it has a lower penalty on it. So that's part of the reason. And to me, if you want to, this is garbage. This is, if that's the case, this is garbage. You want to reset it in the offseason and you want to be cheap in the offseason, I have far less of a problem with that than you being 70% of the way through the season, recognizing that you could steal a championship, and then you decide to go cheap. You want to go cheap in the offseason? You know what? Have a reset year. But we're here. We're here now.
Yeah.
It's like getting to the, it's like, you know, getting to your trip and then not going to the sporting event because it's too much. Well, you're already here. You're here once. What are we doing? It's like going to the Roman Coliseum. So go to Italy and not go to the Roman Coliseum. You know, it's like you're here. Let's go. And that's how I look at it. Like, yeah, if you want to be cheap in the offseason and reset everything, just go ahead and do that and reset. But, man, you have got a golden opportunity to steal a title. Because let's be fair, Bruce Bochy's entire career has been based off of stealing championships. They never had the best team in the league with the Giants. Ever. He wrote Mad Bum.
So
right?
Are they, and I'm just like reading over how all this works right now. So how many years in a row have they gotten over the threshold before?
So I think it's two.
So they're two. Okay. So this is the third year, and this would put them how far over?
Barely. I mean, they're trying to stay under it.
So, yeah, because if they go a third year over, it jumps. That's a big jump. That's a lot of money.
For the penalty?
For the penalty.
So it's the first year, if you are between zero and $20 million over, first-time offender pays 20% tax on that. The second-year offender in a row, 30% tax. The third year, it's a 50% tax.
Wow.
So if you're requiring somebody, if you go at somebody, it's like, well, this now puts us $8 million over, it's $12 million you're paying for that player.
And they're six in payroll. Now, they're like 19, they're basically $20 million behind Toronto, who is fifth in payroll, but they got a $220 million payroll, according to USA Today.
And if they get to the point where they are $40 million over, if they like make a big deal to go get a big deal like that, the tax rate, it goes up in brackets. They end up paying 95% tax on anything they spend over $40 million. So you're talking about, it's basically
dollar
one
dollar.
For one.
Yeah, the Dodgers are in that situation, right? Yankees have always been in.
I got to say, and I'm being team sellout today to management and front office. Like, I get that. I understand that if you want to stay beneath a 50% penalty.
But if it's just, yeah, that one I get. But like, if you're talking about you go $4 million over to add a thing, like, to me, I would just be like, just pay $6 million then. Like, that feels a little cheap in baseball terms.
Yeah, like, yeah, and again, you know, if you want to reset in the offseason. When you're this far into it, it just seems like you're letting an opportunity completely go to waste. And that's something that I would have a problem with. It is Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. The Astros could be going for it. They could be going for it. There's talk about Dylan Cease for Houston, and Houston definitely leaning into the run prevention. But there's one trade that Buster Olney and ESPN say that the Rangers need to make, and that is to trade for Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano, who are with Baltimore. Make that. They are last in the major leagues, first base and designated hitter. They are last in the majors in OPS.
The Rangers?
The Rangers are. Last in the Rangers?
I don't know. Your English this whole segment has been questionable.
Oh, no. That's terrible. I don't want to say that. So it's at DH. They are last in the majors in OPS. First base has also been a problem area for them. They rank in the bottom third in the American League in runs per game as a whole, but have not done, obviously, that since June 6th or 7th, where they have been tops in baseball. O'Hearn can play first or DH. Laureano can DH. He could start in the outfield, they say, especially against lefties. So David Schoenfield says that is one guy that they could go out and get. Buster talking about getting Ryan O'Hearn and Laureano.
Yeah, Laureano's been a plus in the defensive wins above replacement category. And, I mean, he's been good at the plate this year. And it's not like he's had – he's playing above where he's typically been at the plate over the last few years, but it's not like he's had a few years of like 800 plus OPS. This year it's 866. It's a career high. But I mean, he's you're talking about a guy who has played at a high level here at first, you know, in the outfield this year.
All right, John Morosi stunned me the other week when he came on here and he's like, offense is fine. Marcus Semien is back. This team needs bullpen. And he proved to be kind of right. Give me your 1-2-3 in trade preference if the Rangers went buying. 1-2-3, you can simplify it and say bullpen, bat, or you can get even more specific with first base, DH, closer, middle relief. Give it to me today, because tomorrow, obviously, the deadline.
I need bullpen. I'm going to lean in a run prevention.
Bullpen one over a...
I'm going to lean in a run prevention. two would be DH.
Okay.
You cannot have, I mean, who's your DH? Jock Peterson?
No.
I mean, he's not even hitting my 12-year-old's weight. All right, let alone his own.
Yeah, he's hitting like he's got some over-unders or something like that. Like wow, that's the way he's hitting. It's bat, number one. Bat's still number one. Go get me a bat, and then number two would be, like, bat at all costs. It's like, I don't care if you've got a good bat and a good reliever, and the good bat is going to cost you a lot more. Go get the good bat. Then it's the good reliever. And then...
have you changed your mind about buying? You had to now.
No, like, I mean, they're better. They're clearly in a better position than they were a little bit ago. It's not like a thing where you feel like you have to sell. I wouldn't be mad if they sold. But it's like, previously I would have been mad if they didn't sell, I would be mad. I wouldn't be mad if they didn't sell. It's just like, if you had an opportunity and it wasn't, you weren't going to be able to add anything else and you didn't feel like the prospects were as good for your future, then I'd have a problem with it. But bat would be one, reliever would be two, and then third would be whichever is the best deal between another bat and another reliever.
It is Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. There was a trade made yesterday, and this is something that only can happen in Major League Baseball. The Orioles traded Sir Anthony Dominguez to the Blue Jays.
Ah, he's knighted.
Okay. Yeah.
S-E-R-A-N-T-O-H-Y.
Okay. Sir Anthony. So he pitched. It was a doubleheader they played yesterday. He pitched game one for Baltimore. Got traded between the games and pitched against Baltimore in game two.
That is amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
He pitched against them in game two?
He pitched against them. He was a member of the team of Baltimore in game one. And then in game two, he comes out.
That's
there.
Awesome.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
That's very, very cool. You can only see this in MLB.
By the way, we didn't talk at all about Ryan Sandberg yesterday.
I didn't feel that I wanted to trample.
Oh, you were going to say some negative things?
Look, man, I
was surprised when I got home from dinner and the news broke that it just took over the coverage on ESPN. I mean, big name, but I was surprised at the amount of coverage.
Look, he was one of those 80s and 90s players that everybody liked. Everybody loved. I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. He's a .285 career hitter. His OPS plus is under 100, which means he's completely below league average. His OPS as a whole is under 800. That's not Hall of Fame. That's not Hall of Fame. He's got Jeff Kent's second base Hall of Fame spot. He's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, you can't have him in there and not have Don Mattingly in there, who's a better player, and not have Keith Hernandez in there, who's a better player. I know they play different positions. But I never thought he was a Hall of Famer. I don't know why. I thought he was in there because everybody loved the loser Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, they did put Jeter in there, and that makes it really hard for you to then hold any baseline of leaving other guys like that out.
Well, I don't know, man. He's got like the sixth most hits ever, so that's a problem.
Yeah, I know, because he played 26 years.
Well, Art Monk
and pinstripes. Your Art Monk and pinstripes. Sean's got Art Monk from his childhood. You've got Jeter.
Is he an over 300 career?
Just own it.
Art Monk.
So
Derek Jeter on the football field is the version of four catches for 45 yards. That's what Derek Jeter is.
I would disagree with that.
Hold your composure, Chop. You do well.
I would disagree with that. I already picked a fight with Will Chambers on social media today about this.
About Sandberg?
About Sandberg. You know, I waited a day. You know, I figured
this is on Twitter?
It was on Facebook. I don't usually post on Facebook, but I didn't post. I just replied to one of his comments about Rhino.
I didn't think Will's people used Facebook anymore.
Where they moved over to... I see what you're doing. Yeah, I wasn't going to say it. Hey, real quick, on a final bow on the Marco Rocco story. Marco Rocco was the little leaguer.
Oh, yeah.
He was allowed to play in this game, and in the Little League World Series state championship game, he did hit a home run. And in the game, now tell me if this is lame or cold, he hits a no doubter, and instead of doing, remember, he was suspended for doing a bat flip. He did not bat flip. He laid the bat down in the batter's box.
I like it.
Is that lame or is that cold?
It's lame. Like, I mean, do it, but, like, I mean, he's like, everybody's waiting to see what celebration. Like, that's way too much cockiness for a 12-year-old or whatever it is. No, hell no. That's stupid.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers here with Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Hump Day Edition on DFW Sports Station. We have Tyler Booker, brand new offensive lineman, coming up at 9:20 this morning. Nick Eatman, top of the hour, DallasCowboys.com. But it is a Wednesday wheel spin.
Okay. So that is stopping on a, I don't know, I've never done this segment. What are you sick of?
Yes!
Oh, hey,
that's one of my all-time favorites. Your chance to vent, your chance to get your bitterness off of your cell phone, Kyle, off of your chest. Just, what are you sick of? It can be anything in life. 877-881-1053. Text it. It can be us. We'll do What Are You Sick Of with Sean and RJ after this.
And I'm so sick of people saying that, that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
All right, this is one of my favorite segments from back in the day. Just a way for people to unleash the bitterness and get your frustrations out on the radio. It's a good song. Bobby's getting it on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Live.
This is some G-Funk right here. I like this.
Live from Oxnard, California. It is Cowboys training camp. Also, on your home of the Rangers, brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding. Did you see how I had Bobby driving me around yesterday, my confessional?
I did not see your confessional, no.
He wouldn't get out of the back seat after you dropped us off. I was like, sit in the front seat. He's like, no.
That's weird. That's very broad. That's a broadest move.
No, he wanted to, like, sun me. He was like, au pair, go, or whatever. I don't know what he was calling me. But he basically just
au pair.
Wanted... Yeah, I don't know. He wanted me to drive him around and be his little chauffeur. I almost thought he was going to do it on the way back. I thought he was going to get the back seat.
No, drove me to breakfast with me sitting in the back. Like, I had my own Uber Lyft.
And I'll tell you what I'm not sick of is Ruben's restaurant recommendations, because you had gone to Black Bear yesterday with me. That Black Bear diner was good.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest country fried steak fan. My wife is. And I'm just like, something's telling me to get this country fried steak. I need a little Texas in my life. I can't get a brisket sando out here. I'm not going to go get the tri-tip sandwich. And I ordered this country fried steak, and... It was a phenomenal breakfast. But then he said he's found an even better spot, which we may or may not go to today. So Ruben hitting the home runs in terms of the food recommendations. This is What Are You Sick Of? Text it to us. I want to know your life issues at 877-881-1053. It can be sports. It can be life. Whatever you want at the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
And we Bob. Got plenty on the fan text to start out. 817, I'm sick of the Kardashians.
Are they still a thing, though?
I think they kind of are. 254, I'm sick of the Fire Nico S.
Ooh.
Luka's gone, the flag was captured, and Nico's still here. These will be the same people who would be at the Mavs Championship Parade in 2026 if they win it all and still scream, Fire Nico. And that is
Fortune
from... They just left their initials. It says it's from NH in Dallas. I don't know if that's a coincidence.
That's a great text. Just as we're getting like new arena news as a possibility.
Yeah, Rick Welts has said that they have. There was a little bit of a misreport yesterday. Bloomberg had talked to Rick Welts and was trying to ask him about future development for the Mavericks and things like that. And I guess the way he phrased it sounded to Bloomberg like he was saying they are down to two locations that they're considering. And it was significant because Rick Welts said they were both within the city limits of Dallas. And he had said, he came back, Dallas Morning News followed up and were like, is that totally accurate? And he's like, no. That I was saying basically like those are two proposals that with it, the city of Dallas have been suggested as sites. He's like, we are not down to two. But he did say by the end of this year, early next year, they will have picked a site for their next arena.
Okay. I mean, obviously, the Irving 114-183 split where Texas Stadium is not within the Dallas city limits, although maybe Rick Welts doesn't know what's actually within the city limits of Dallas.
Yeah, that was,
you know, transient.
That may have been Dallas County limits is what he was thinking.
Yes,
yeah, I've got a thing that I'm sick of, and it's people...
Oh, my God. Spittle said there's a Black Bear diner right by my house in Mesquite.
Oh, they're in Dallas? I didn't even know that.
What?
Wow. I knew they were a chain.
Really? Is it the same thing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a chain.
Well done, Spittle. I didn't. Oh, that's
Spittle coming in clutch.
That might be my new breakfast spot.
214, Jerry Jones here. Bobby, I'm sick of you. Can't blame you, Mr. Jones. I would say that the thing I'm sick of is just people who don't know how to do very basic things that I would think everybody already has a handle on, like how to get a toll ticket out at the airport. We were flying out the other day, and this dude, it got me really mad to begin with because he cut us off. As you know how you're approaching those lanes and you're getting up there? We have a toll tag. For some reason, it does not read it when we pull up.
Same with me.
So we always have to go to the ticket line. So we went to the ticket line. We're going over there. We're 15 feet from where that barricade starts, and this truck goes and just weaves in front of us. And Kristen was driving, and she was furious about it. But then as we're sitting there, he gets up there to the front of that. We're already mad at him. No joke. Over 3 minutes sitting there. Because this guy thought the please take ticket words on the screen was a touch button, and he could not figure out to hit the round button that has the ticket on it on the actual box.
The one that's lighting up?
I was about to, like, and I was like, I'm getting out of the car. And she's like, do not. She's like, don't get out of the car. I was like, I'm telling him he needs to do that. And she's like, you're already mad at him. Don't
are you
get
getting
out of the car.
Louder? It's
yeah.
like,
yeah, because the sun's coming up.
Oh
it's
my
the
God.
Day. It's coming with
it's
me.
The day.
You were, like, you were complaining about me. You were sick of me being loud this morning.
Yeah,
you
what I,
he's like
I was,
a rooster.
I was sick of, like, your pill must have, like, kicked in no. the car. I was like, how are you so wired? When we got the least amount of sleep last night, 5 hours because of Tsunami Watch, and you were just rolling in the car, and I'm like, shut the hell up. And then when the show started...
I got the most sleep I've gotten.
And then the show started, you were like calm and cool and chill and regular, and now it's ratcheting
back. Well, this
is
making
up.
Me angry again, thinking about
okay.
this moron.
That's justified.
Because he hits the ticket finally. Kristen like yelled out the window. She's like, you have to hit the button. And so when she yelled that, he hits it, and then he gets through... And as he gets through, I like, you know how you can see them looking in their little side mirror at you? And he's like sitting there, he's like, like, silly me. And I was like, I want to like just run into the back of this guy's car right now. He's driving. So I'm sick of that. I'm sick of people who don't know how to do like very basic Oh, and then when we're at the airport, I'm sick of inconsistencies from airport to airport about what you need to take off or put in a case at TSA.
Okay, like what? It's
okay,
only
so
really shoes
I
and computer.
The Smith protectors or whatever they're called, those are the scanners at the airport. The big giant ones that say Smith on them, those ones you do not have to take your laptop out of. But at DFW, they have at the same TSA line, this scanner over here, that one can't handle the laptop, this one can't, and they get annoyed with you if you do not understand. You start taking the laptop, you don't need to take it out. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
You go to the other one. You're not taking out the gun. You need to take that out. How
right.
That's been a rule for years, sir.
Yeah.
So,
and now I can keep my hat on? Like, since when?
Yeah, that
always.
They got on me for that. No, they got on me for that, too. They were like.
I've never taken the hat off.
No, you never take a hat off, but.
That's right.
But, that was, like, just some consistency, please. And if wherever there's somebody wrong, just, like, say, oh, no, that's this. That, like, changes occur. But I'll tell you what's not changed is that button that you press at the damn ticket gate.
Choppy, what are you sick of?
I'm sick of a few things. I'm sick of people who are on a group chat with you and then all of a sudden just take time off from the group chat without letting anybody know. They just stop answering, stop responding. They're just kind of gone.
What would you like them to tell you and what are you qualifying as a break?
Reading and not responding.
You have to respond.
I think
would you think that I'm taking you would never say I'm taking a break from ours, right? Because I probably respond the least.
No, because you're at least responding every day.
Yeah.
This is like a week or two in a row where there's been radio silence.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? I mean, that's not.
What would you like them to text?
Anything.
But to announce the break, what do you say?
Oh, hey, taking a break from my phone for a while.
Okay.
Taking a break from the group chat. But then if you're going to take away a break from this group chat, you got to take a break from all of them.
You know what you should do? You should kick them off. That's what I would do.
Oh,
kick them out of the group chat.
Because they're
make them have FOMO.
Yeah, that's true. They're part of the family. You know, you don't get to me. You don't get to read what's going on.
Yeah.
And not contribute
to
what's going on.
Right.
Are
they going through something? You have no idea.
I don't know. We would love to know.
Have you texted and said, "Where are you? Why aren't you responding?" Or is this just passive aggressive?
I have not asked.
Ask.
It's not my place to ask.
But you're putting them on blast on the radio.
That's fair. But they may not be listening.
Okay.
I got another one.
Yeah.
All right. I'm doing this on behalf of my friend. If you agree to keep someone's dog while they go on vacation, and you're one of their parents, own up to that and honor that, and don't make them have to rebook a flight from a different city and cost them $600 on top of now boarding a dog that's going to cost them $1,300. So now they're out almost $2,000 because you backed out from keeping their dog. Don't do that.
Backed out?
Yeah. They're supposed to keep the dog. Now they backed out from keeping the dog. And now my buddy's out money. He had to rebook flights.
And why are they backing out?
I don't know. He didn't go into details on it. But they backed out. I got a problem with that. You know, honor
that
your
sucks.
Contracts.
That sucks.
Honor your contracts.
Yes.
Something talk like Jerry Jones. You had a contract. Honor the contract.
What are you sick of? The random Wednesday wheel spin, hump day edition on Sean and RJ.
I'm sick of the 901's brand new unlimited data plan that they clearly got with all the texts they just sent in. he says, sure, you're not reading any of these texts. I imagine they're similar to mine with my honest non-Homer text. So I'll read yours 901. Honestly, it was that you were sending like essays and it broke up into a million texts that I couldn't read clearly. But he said, I'm sick of the Cowboys always overpaying and making these guys the highest paid when they never are the best at their respective positions. It's a complete joke and a detriment to the team. It's no surprise why they can't field the winner. They can't afford any talent other than their own already overpaid guys. And that is a take that everybody said on the station before. So I think everybody's sick of it. And nobody was worrying about censoring you, 901.
Pepe, what are you sick of?
All right, well, I'm going to say it. I'm sick of AI. I really am. I'm tired of the fact-checking everything. Everything I see, I have to go and fact-check. I have to get 17 different sources to make sure it's right. I know it's the future, and it's cool to use and everything, but it really is screwing up society, guys. It's painful to see and everything. And it's like I can't believe everything I see because I have to think in my head, you know, okay, is this real or not? I have no idea. So I'm sick and tired of AI.
Hulk Hogan's family had to be like, there's a lot of AI stuff out there. It's not coming from us. Like, try to respect our privacy, and you know, after the Hulkster passing away. Carter, hold that hat up on the fan cam. Look at that sweet hat.
Oh, that's such a great hat.
Glizzy Texas Ranger hat. I just noticed this. I did not know this was out there.
Sick.
That's badass.
That's sick.
I am sick of the radio battle in ride shares. I can't remember the last time I've been in an Uber or a Lyft, and the person has asked what we wanted to listen to. I have been listening to Sunday Service. I have been listening to Indian music. I have been listening to Dead Silence. The random things
that sounds awful
that I've been subjected to. Yeah, Indian music. I had to grow up with it with my dad. It sucks. It, like, I'm convinced it gave me physical leg cramps listening to this.
Leg cramps.
Yeah, leg cramps. I just remember blaring this Indian music for parties at the house, and it was awful. And no one asks. No one asks, like, what do you want to listen to? And They have instituted this fear and this intimidation that I'm afraid to be like, can you put it on this? Can you this? Can you that? There's no more radio compromise in the ride shares. Do you believe that the driver should have total full control of the radio and what's on? Or is that my call?
I feel like that. I always feel like that's the driver's call.
What about the AC and heat?
The AC is my call.
Okay. You think the radio? Okay, so the radio is the driver's call, according to you.
It's their vibe. Like, it's probably annoying to just go, like, I'm jumping from this to this. It just, if you want to offer back the aux cord back in the day, like when they would do that, fine. But, like, I remember we were driving to New Orleans, and you're trying to be subtle. You're like, this is a good song. I can barely hear it. And then, like, you keep going there, like, Choppy, you turn that up front. He's like, I'm not touching a man's radio. You can, like, turn it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Touching a man's radio is like a grill.
Yeah.
You keep your hands off.
What do you think?
It's a tough one. I don't.
You don't take them.
I don't take them very often. I drive everywhere. I don't take them that often. My thing is, all I care about, I'd never cared about the radio in a car, like in somebody else's car. All I care about is the temperature. The amount of people that ride around with Not with nothing on.
And some people
still stagnant air blows me away.
And so many people don't even have air conditioning in the car.
Or like
the air conditioning doesn't work and the radios don't work.
Yeah.
These are in ride shares too. That's what I'm sick of. So there it is, the return. What are you sick of here on The Fan?
And a couple other quick ones real quick. 817, I'm tired of the legal system allowing my daughter's trash ex to stalk and torture her every day because there's a process they have to follow.
Whoa.
This is why dads go off the rail. A bunch of people saying they're also sick of the 901. Let's see here. What else? I'm sick of the Cowboys 2-4. So plenty of Cowboys that people are sick of.
What makes CeeDee Lamb so difficult to defend? That's next in Below
the Belt.
Right here on Sean and RJ.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Is there a legitimate case to be made that CeeDee Lamb is the most valuable receiver in the National Football League?
I'll bite.
Well, that seems to be the argument that The Athletic has put forward, or at least is suggesting is plausible. Okay. We're going to talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by DNM Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Before we do that, we had a text come in during last segment, What Are You Sick Of?, which blew up the fan text. A lot of folks texted in, seemed to enjoy that. 214, guys, what's your honest take on the Cowboys this year? You're seeing them practice. You know what's good and what's not. You've been out there. Playoff team, a real shot on the NFC Championship game. Your first few days out here, and we've obviously seen the one practice, but we've heard kind of what came out of the first one or the first week. We've gotten the vibe from some of the players that we've talked to, seen some of the stuff out here. So your impression on the Cowboys as we stand here on day three in Oxnard?
I'm not basing my answer based upon anything out here. I could see the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
Ooh.
I think what we have forgotten the improvements, the excitement, and the optimism of the offseason, especially compared to an all-time bad one for this organization over the last 15 years. Last offseason, maybe it's the Schottenheimer Kool-Aid. Maybe I'm getting a little bit way too optimistic, but the Lions appear to have some questions. What's going to happen with the coaching? Is Green Bay ready to take that step? There's no one that terrifies you in the South. And people think San Francisco has gone backwards. Matt Stafford's got a back issue. Well, the NFC right now, sitting here today, is Jaden Daniels in Washington going to repeat the magic of last year? Why not Dallas? So, yes, I could see them right now today in the NFC Championship game as a possibility.
Yeah, it's not like the NFC is pretty loaded. With like,
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's to me, it's far more competitive than the AFC. The AFC's like got teams at the top.
Is competition loaded though? Like, competition could just mean it's everybody's kind of middle of the pack.
Well, maybe.
Give me the top five in each conference.
Oh, again, at the top, yes, the AFC okay. At the top. The NFC has got like I think a deeper. It's deeper. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. I think
Minnesota. We don't have no idea what Minnesota is. They have a rookie quarterback.
They just won 14 games with Sam Darnold. I mean, like, to me, that's loaded. Like, they're
okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
they're any team with a rookie quarterback is a tremendous question mark.
Absolutely. Oh, it's a question mark.
Yeah,
but I think like there's no Minnesota in the AFC to me. Who's the Minnesota of the AFC?
What do you mean? Who's the Minnesota?
Like a team that is. I mean, that, really, really good with, like, obviously, there's a question, yes, but they seem to just plug and play a quarterback.
Okay. I think Minnesota is just Kevin O'Connell's awesome. That's okay. How I view them typically.
All right, so, what else besides Minnesota?
All right, so the entire North, outside of maybe Chicago, but people think Chicago's that chic pick.
Okay.
Tampa has proven that they are kind of stalwarts.
Yeah, but
there.
If the Cowboys beat the Buccaneers tomorrow, you're not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised. And if Tampa wins, I'm not surprised either.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
I'm not sitting here being like, Tampa's definitely better than the Cowboys.
No. I don't think they're definitely better than the Cowboys. Obviously, Washington and Philadelphia. Obviously, the Rams.
Not
I
obvious.
Don't know obvious the Rams.
I mean,
you know,
I was just saying Stafford's back. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, there's questions. That's a deep. I mean, we're almost at 10 teams now. Like there are maybe
I'm not you didn't sell
how
me.
How many teams in the NFC would surprise you if they made the playoffs?
But that's my argument for the Cowboys making it. My argument you're trying to say that all these teams could make the playoffs, and I'm trying to say it's mid, and that means the Cowboys can make it to the conference title game.
I wouldn't be surprised if the NFC South any one of those teams win the division, but it's because it's like it's bad. I don't know who's going to potentially be good for.
Yeah,
a few
okay. So I'm just looking at like,
and you personally think Washington is going to take a step backwards? You're not sold.
I'm not.
You
sold.
Think San Francisco is taking a step backwards? You're not sold.
Right, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went on a run. Yeah. Right, you know,
like in the I think AFC, we're saying things different ways.
Yeah, I think in the AFC I can only see four teams winning the AFC. I can see 10
but
teams.
But we're talking about the conference title game. That was the Tolos question.
Yeah. I mean, I can see. I wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys were in the championship game. Although I shouldn't say that, being that it's been 30 years.
I could see Buffalo in it, Baltimore in it, Cincinnati in it, Houston possibly in it.
I couldn't see
Kansas
Houston.
City, maybe the Chargers in the conference title.
The
game.
The conference title game, yeah. Yeah, I can only see four in the AFC the Super Bowl.
The way I look at Dallas right now so far is just I think they got better with the Pickens trade and their draft. I think those are things that improved their outlook. I felt like it was a 7-8 win team before that. Now it's like, all right, maybe 9-10, something like that. But yeah, in the realm of anything can happen. Nobody thought the Bengals were making the Super Bowl the year they did. And you know, we've seen some improbable Giants. So excluding for that, just talking about probabilities, could I like see that as like a legitimate path for the Cowboys? No, not this year. I think that there are going to be some growing pains. I think they're going to have to figure. I think the first quarter of the season, they're going to be figuring some things out. And there is still a little bit of a talent deficit from some of the top contenders that I just don't think it's going to be common for them. Like that would be if you did 1,000 simulations, I don't think it would be very often that they would get to the NFC title game. Okay, over at The Athletic, Ted Wynn has an article up. And Ted Wynn, to me, he's one of the best people out there writing about the game of football and the way that he is able to explain it and some of the things that he talks about. KNC has him on a lot from The Athletic, and he's really good. And he had the NFL's 10 most versatile players. So he started talking about the NFL's best offenses for years have created problems for defenses with versatile players, personnel groupings. Defenses, we talk about Micah and how versatile he is and how difficult that makes things for opposing offenses and different things like that. So what he wanted to look at was the wide range of skills, how teams are able to implement them, not even necessarily how teams use them, but what the possibilities are that they're maybe not tapping into. And he wanted to look at who were the guys that just stand out as like, this guy can do so many different things for you. And he had people on there like Kyle Hamilton from the Ravens, Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. And on this list, he has one Sadarian Lamb, the wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. And this is where he makes the point that I think is fascinating. What did Ruben do?
He's just amazing. If we had this service last night at Cafe Fiore, I would have tipped 25%.
Yeah.
He's over here like a waiter. Like, he's testing the coffee. Is it hot enough? He's using napkins to pick up trash wrapped around his hand.
Why are you doing that, Ruben?
Oh, no.
Did you do it again to him? You got him again?
I asked for it.
Oh, no, right. Bobby.
Some receivers, this is what Ted Wynn writes.
What
he says,
bad influence.
Some receivers have to play in the slot because they lack the physicality and athleticism to win on the outside. Some have to play on the outside because they aren't quick or precise enough for the routes a slot receiver has to run. Lamb has the size and vertical ability to win on go routes or the outside, but he's so crafty that he can run the route tree from the inside as well. And he starts talking about, like, if you look at, he's become largely a slot player for the most part over the last few years. But he said when Lamb broke out with his 1,544-yard season in 22.
If anyone on the fan text gets, by the way, that Bobby Rubin reference, I will sing your praises here on the air. If you text in.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, if you get that, you're a top-level VIP, Tolo.
They say Lamb is typically tiered right below Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Tyreek Hill. He says none of those three play inside as much as Lamb does. That doesn't mean they can't do what Lamb does. But Lamb's usage is more varied, and this list rewards versatility. According to Pro Football Focus last season, Lamb played 50.3% of his snaps in the slot and 48% out wide. For the Cowboys, Lamb's ability to play inside and outside is vital because they depend on him to move the ball. Since 2022, the Cowboys have had an average running game and not many other weapons to throw to. They can't afford to lose Lamb as a decoy. They have to find ways to get him the ball, and his versatility allows that. So the way he kind of sets that up there, and he's talking about, look, Dallas, like, there are different times where it's like, Ja'Marr Chase, he's going to attract all this coverage, and that's going to open things up for T. Higgins. Or, oh, you can do this, or you can do that. And Ted Wynn saying, Dallas does not, when CeeDee Lamb's career has exploded here, he has not had that. He has had to be the guy. And because of that, you have to find creative ways to get him the ball, because you can't just put him outside, have him get doubled, do whatever
Amari?
Else. No, like, since he really blew up. So his 1,500-yard season. So 22, 23, 24. And that he points out that he's like, because you have to find creative ways to get him the ball, you need a player who's versatile enough to play in spots where you can get him the ball from there. So a lot of guys can't play in the slot. A lot of guys can't do different things outside. A lot of guys can't, you know, deal with press coverage. So he's talking about that Lamb's versatility basically allows him to be the guy that Dallas just leans on completely with their offense and has allowed them to be able to function, even though a lot of other teams would say, man, if you've got this receiver who can only play outside and you start doubling him, that guy's just taken out of the game. That's something that I think a lot of people felt like Pickens dealt with. Like, him getting doubled became a real problem for him, and he's not really an inside slot guy. And so the idea was just that helps take some of that off him. Lamb can move around. He can do the jet sweeps. He can do different things like that. But where he says there that Tyreek, Chase, Jefferson, who are consistently, from a lot of people, put above Lamb, which I don't think Tyreek should be anymore,
that they don't play inside. They just never do it. And it's not that we don't know that they can't do it, but what we have seen is that Lamb will win at a high tier level in either spot. So the question is, and not to toot our own horn here for our guy, for the guy here in Dallas, do you feel like there is a case to be made that Lamb should be closer in the conversation than it seems like he often is with Chase, Jefferson, and those guys?
I never thought he was.
You never thought he was in there? Mm-hmm. I know. Well, I mean, I don't think a lot of people do. That's what I'm saying. Does that change it when you start thinking about it through those terms?
You know, it's amazing in terms that we don't give the extra value to playing inside like maybe we would to corner switching sides, you know, or like a right tackle of a move to left or left
or even
right
a corner playing inside. Yeah,
yeah. Same thing. Yeah, yeah. We don't give that credit to the receiver, and we probably should. The thing that differentiates Chase to me is run after the catch. He's probably the best in the National Football League, and Justin Jefferson just did that with Sam Darnold. So it's hard for me, but Lamb put up numbers with Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be in the conversation. I don't know if I can get him over him, but he's worth every bit of that money. Like, I'll rephrase it. Would you be more worried about Micah fulfilling his new contract versus Lamb?
Yes.
Think about that. Ooh. Micah Parsons is probably going to the Hall of Fame. He's an all-world athlete. And that's how good CeeDee Lamb is, that I have less questions about him fulfilling that money. And I agree with you.
If CeeDee said, I want to, like, and he wouldn't do this, but if CeeDee came and was in and said, I'm holding out, I want $40 million, I would be say, pay it now because he's that good. Just get him out there.
All right, we have a special 9 o'clock Cowboy Hour. Tyler Booker is going to sit down with us in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat along with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Did he hear about G-Bag versus Stephen Jones yesterday? Nicholas sits down with us next.